You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and the name to rest, I'm gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
You're on the air.
We're live. We're on the air. Alan, love, we're on the air. You're not paying attention.
I'm indeed paying attention.
You're writing it? You're writing?
What are you writing then?
I am writing my life story for Mike Paulus, who joined us today.
Wow. Well, was Mike going to publish it?
You got three sentences. That should be over.
Oh, another smack.
Oh. Boof. You don't realize when he gets even with me how long it's going to take
him.
We
just talked about that. Yeah, Alan was on his game this morning.
He was? Alan was on his game this morning. Yeah.
Yes.
Was he serving?
He was on our morning show. Those of you that are brand new listeners, the Team Martech Hour consists of Vince Rizzino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martech, financial advisor, with our special guest. Now, for the last 3 years, I think, it was pretty hard to
He's
be a guest.
Permanent
you know
guest.
What? You know, that's like fish and relatives. You're way past, way overdue. I'm telling you. I don't think it's 3 years. I think it was 3 days. But Alan has been a special guest of ours for about 3 years, I think.
Well, it's about 2.5.
Well, boy, am I bad at math.
Wow. 2.5 years.
What happened is Alan is a retired prosecuting attorney from the great state of Wisconsin. And he is, for those of you listeners that don't know, he's a messy Jew. Is that the right way to pronounce it?
The way you pronounce it.
The way I pronounce it.
I pronounce it Masonic. I mean Messianic.
Messianic. It could be Masonic.
Okay.
It could be
Masonic. Was that good? I got him a little off kilter there, which worked.
You love to do that.
I do. I love it. First of all, I've never seen you get that red, which is perfect. But a messy Jew, or excuse me, Messianic Jew, means he was a practicing Jew. In fact, he looks just like a rabbi, and a rabbi, by definition, means a teacher.
That's right.
And he's still a teacher. But he then converted to Christianity, how long ago now?
July 18th, 2009.
Wow. Is that the day you got dipped in a tank?
That's the day.
Did they drown you or just hold you underneath for a while?
Well, if they drowned him, he wouldn't be here.
I know when I got back.
I got to say one thing serious. Anybody who gets baptized and converts from Judaism. It is a moving, wonderful experience. It really is.
Yes.
Let me reaffirm what you're saying, because I got dipped in a tank in 1982, and I'm a good Catholic kid, just like Vince. You know how we were raised: Mass 6 days a week, Catholic school. What?
No Catholic school.
Weren't you the same thing? No.
Yeah.
You know. You didn't go to Catholic school.
I don't remember when
I
was dipped. I was little.
I went to Mass 6 days a week for 400 years. You know, I'm paid ahead for a couple generations. But then in 1982, I'm going to Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida, and met one of the most talented people I've ever met in my entire life. And no reflection on anybody else, but the man was a flat talent. And I have met in my life what I call three unbelievable talents. They are unbelievable. What they can do and teach and hold attention and keep people owned in the Bible. And I remember this for the rest of my life. I get this phone call on a Sunday afternoon, and I answer the phone, Joe Martek, which is the way I always answer the phone. It's maybe 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and guy on the other phone says, Bill Alexander here. And Bill Anderson. It's been that long. And no wonder the name didn't sound right. And I said, Bill Anderson. I said, I know two. One's a country singer and one's a preacher. And he says, well, I can't sing. And I said, Bill, what's up? And he says, Joe, I'm in your neighborhood. I want to come by. I'm about two blocks away. And I said, okay, Bill, come on by. I hung up the phone. My wife says, who's that? And I says, Bill Anderson, Calvary Baptist Church. She goes, what's he want? I said, he wants to come by. She goes, quick! Get some clothes on, hide that scotch, hurry up. And I said,
hide the scotch.
And I said, no, this is my house.
He might like it.
So, I don't think so, but that made no difference. So he comes in and we're sitting at the kitchen table, you know how you do in every house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you only use Catholic priests in the living room. Everybody else sits at the kitchen table. Remember that, Vin?
Right, they're very formal.
When I was raised, our living room had plastic seat covers.
That's right. So was ours.
Only the priest could sit on those things. The rest of us weren't allowed to sit on them.
No. It's a wonder they didn't put a rope and make it a museum.
Might as well have. I mean, if we crossed that line, we probably would have gotten killed. Anyway, so he comes in and he's sitting down talking to me. He says, Joe, I've been watching you. And I said, yeah, Bill. Now, the guy had a talent. He had 3,000 people a week coming to Sunday school. He knew everybody's name. I mean, he's a talent, he was given more God-given talent than anybody I think I've ever met. A couple of other people, but just unbelievable. So he's saying to me, I'm watching you. Pretty soon, you're going to openly confess your faith. And he said, it's no big deal. You walk up to the front, you know, we pat you on the back, rub your head a little bit, and we talk nice to you. And then a couple weeks later, we dip you in a tank in front of everybody, and that's it. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. And I said, is the water warm? He says, listen, I've got to go in with you. It better be warm, because I don't like going in cold water any more than you do. I said, okay. And literally, then I said, okay, Bill, I drink scotch. He said, I'll make you a deal. I won't tell you what to drink if you don't tell me what to preach. And that, folks, is the end of the story. And 2 weeks later, he dipped me in front of about 600 people. And he didn't drown me. I think he held me a little longer underwater than he normally does.
Well, you probably needed it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying, I'm not disagreeing with that, Mike.
But I would have done
and
the same.
And there, I would have done this. I mean, it was perfectly justified because, you know, I would never pick on anybody. You know that.
Yeah, sure.
So the only thing I did not do when he's ready to dip me, I was pretty pious for 1 minute in my whole life.
Because,
you know, you're sitting there with this robe and you got your hands folded and you're looking, you know, rather saintly. So if I'd have mouthed off to him, he might have helped me under for a long time. Right.
And thereafter, Joe, you were known as a dip.
Thank you. Expletive deleted.
Well, now,
at least we have some fun.
If
on
we
this
can
show,
get back to the informational, educational part of this wonderful program, Mr. Rizzino, if you could stop laughing so I could ask you a question.
Go ahead. I can't help myself. I laugh at my own jokes. My wife complains about that.
He doesn't tell him very well. He has
resentful
to laugh
because
nobody
because
else
I'm the one that usually generates the laughs, you're doing a fine job of it. No, seriously, Vince.
Well, it's hard to be a messy Jew when I get laughed at.
The administration is looking to do more tax reform. One of the things they're talking about is making the current individual tax cut permanent.
Right.
That would probably have a wonderful long-term effect on the economy, wouldn't you agree?
I agree, but I think this is such a budget buster that I think he wanted to leave a back door for another administration to come in and not be saddled with it for the rest of the day. Although Congress at any time can change the law. I don't know why. This thing sunsets in 2024. But the Congress at any time.
The Congress can start all over again and say, okay, abolish that even though it's permanent, right?
Oh, yeah, they could do that.
Now, what happens because it expires in 2024? That means they will then have to come up with a new program. Or extend it.
Well, then you're back to the way we had it before. Every year you had to go through all these
extensions. Yeah, but it's very difficult for corporations and businesses, and even small businesses, to budget for that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem.
If you know it's 2024 and this is 18, you know, we've only got six more years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what do you do 3 years, 4 years down the road when you're trying to budget for a big piece of equipment that you may want to depreciate?
Here comes the magic thing, I think, where Alan was going. If this administration stays elected, doesn't get impeached, and then if he gets reelected, the possibility of a permanent thing is pretty likely.
Well, then you have to ask about the budget. Yes, you know, there's going to be a huge deficit.
There is already.
Right, and even larger, significant.
It's going to be significantly larger.
So there
larger.
Has to be cuts on both sides. There has to be cuts in spending.
How much of...
Well, no, the government never looks at that, Mike. It's never cut spending. You know that.
That's true.
Nobody wants their ox to be gored. So the only thing to do is keep adding the goodies to the bag and expanding the deficit. Why? Because nobody believes that it's consequential.
Yeah. But
the deficit is not consequential.
No. If you can increase the GDP by 1%, is that more than offset?
Well, of course. It would. I don't know if it more than offsets the increase, but if you look at history, since with Reagan's era, there's never been a payback. I read an article about this, that every time they do tax cuts and they think it's going to generate more revenue for the government, it never seems to work that way.
The key is GDP.
GDP, yes. GDP is what the value of all the goods and services being produced.
If GDP gets to a solid 3.5,
we have an $18 trillion GDP. If you go up 1%, does that offset the cuts?
Let's take a phone call here. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Oh, hi, Joe.
Hi.
This is Gail from Port St. Lucie.
Gail?
I have a financial question to ask, yes.
I'm ready for it.
All right. Now, if I want to leave my house to my daughter that isn't fully paid off, can I do that without somebody, like when I called the, the tax office, she said, don't put it a certain way or it would be messed up. Put it, what is the wording you're supposed to put?
It's very simple, very simple. You have a will?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay.
I'll get one.
Okay, when you get a will, you're going to say in that will that when you die, your daughter gets your house. Now, it's going to have a mortgage on it. Let's say the house is worth $300,000 and you have a $100,000 mortgage. Okay? Let's just use that as an example. Your daughter then has a option. She can sell the house, pay off the mortgage. She can pay off the mortgage, move into the house. She can refinance the house. Either way, it makes no difference. Let's just say your house is worth $300,000 and you owe $400,000 and you leave it to your daughter. Your daughter will say, I don't want it. Because it's worth less than it owe you owe more than it's worth. But simply a will would just solve your whole problem and understand that
it has to be transfer on death.
Yes,
she said don't put it a certain way that she had something to sign it over to her.
No.
This girl did it for her dad and then her daughter took the house and she wouldn't even give it back to her.
You do not do anything that's recorded.
Don't do it.
You only leave it in a will or a trust. You can do either instrument, but it's your homestead, right? You live in it. Okay, your homestead, you can leave to anybody. It's not going to go through the court system as long as it has it in the will, and your daughter just simply has to show a death certificate and the will and go down to the courthouse, and if there's a loan on it, the lender has to agree to let her happen, and they probably won't. And then you would go to somebody like Mike Paulus and say, hey, your daughter would, and say, Mike, I need to refinance the house and pay off the mortgage that's on it because my mom just died. Got it? But you do not add a name to the deed now. You know why?
What happened?
If your daughter got sued and you added her name to your deed,
right,
you could lose your house.
At this, if I had it on there before I died.
Yes. Right. Now, it's your
that's
home.
That's what I was thinking about, because she's been out of work and had people after her. So I'm like,
Listen, bottom line is, now, it's your homestead. Let's say you have a car accident and you get sued for $10 million and you lose, and your insurance is only worth $100,000. They cannot take your house. Your homestead is exempt from attachment by creditors. But as soon as you add a different person to it, you have a potential problem. And I have seen literally a faithful listener to us on the radio lose his house because he was being a good guy and deeded it over to his grandson who got sued and the house was gone.
Not only that is, if you have a mortgage on that property, if you transfer ownership, there's a due on sale clause on that mortgage. So they can call the mortgage due if you don't get their approval first.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's really bad. That's really bad. Well, anyway, I don't want to do it anyway with that part. But do I actually, I really don't have the money to go get a lawyer for a will. I mean, I could just draw it up and...
I will tell you this, a very simple will, our attorney
I don't really have much to fight over.
Well, our attorney is not here today, but I'm going to tell you this right now, a very simple will, if you don't have a lot of things, there's different things that happen with the will. Let me tell you what an attorney would do. Our attorney is part of our group. Not only will he do a will, he'll do a power of attorney. So that way, let's say you're in an accident and you're in the hospital and you're out to lunch and you can't do anything, your daughter could, with a power of attorney, pay your electric bill, pay your taxes, pay your water bill.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's
out of my Social Security. Yeah,
she could
out of whatever money I have in the bank. Yeah,
yeah, she has. She can go to the bank and say, "Hey, Mom's out to lunch, and I need to pay the bills," and they can do that. Next thing is, you have what's called a healthcare surrogate. Back, if you're a single person, you don't have a spouse. Somebody's going to make a decision whether they're going to operate on you or not operate on you. Doctors don't like operating on anybody without permission, but if she had that health care surrogate, that gives them authority.
I really need that. And besides that, I'm an AFib person, which you could...
That's even more exciting, right? Is called a living will, which says, don't keep me alive artificially, or keep me alive for 1 week plugged into machines, or 2 weeks, you then can make your decision. So a decent attorney is going to do these four documents. Now, our attorney's not here, so I'm going to speak for him, and he's going to hang me. But all of this should cost, if you have a good guy, our guy's a good guy, around $500, maybe less.
Okay.
So it's not that expensive. Now, he's going to get mad at me for saying that, but you tell him I said that, and then he's stuck.
Okay. You know, Joe, tell him that he can invite me to the hanging, please.
Oh, after he does the will, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's just not nice. He's going to hang you. Okay. Well,
you know, Carla, there's something else you need to know, too, about not gifting that house to your children or your daughter now, is the tax implications to your daughter upon your passing. Because if you gift it to her now... she gets the same basis as you. What I mean by that? Whatever you paid for the house, anything in excess of that when she sells it is going to be taxed to her.
Oh.
Whereas if you leave it in a will, then the house, what we call in the parlance, stepped up, meaning it goes to fair market value on the date of your death, which means there'd be no taxes on the appreciation of the
house. You hear that? No taxes.
So it's very important that you not gift it.
Yeah.
If you wait until through a will, through, as Joe mentioned, have the will it to your daughter, and then at least you'll get the step up in basis and not have to pay taxes on the gain.
Yeah. Well, I know my dad went through probate and that was awful. And he told me don't let it do that, and I didn't follow through.
There you go.
Any idea he was having any problem.
Tell this good daughter of yours that's going to get rich when you die that she should contribute she can contribute to that will, because it's in her best interest for you to do this, both of you.
This is true.
Okay.
It's true. Well, the one thing I do want to tell you, I was smart enough to think that I would possibly also lose my homestead exemption.
No doubt about
somebody
it.
Somebody else's name is on it.
So no doubt about it.
I if you lose, think things through.
If you lose your homestead, you have a tax problem. But more important than that is you're subject to lawsuits. Not that it's going to happen, but it happens to somebody every day, but never me or you. But one day it could be you or me. So the key thing is this. Yes. It's called do not. Get the will. Get it done properly. Yes, if it costs a few dollars, it's never comfortable. But, hey, attorneys are necessary at this point to do it properly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
And another thing, another thing that's necessary is to give our phone numbers, which are 888-221-8990. That's toll-free.
Just use that one. Okay. 888, toll-free from any place, right?
Right.
221-8990. 888. This is an important class. You're supposed to write this down and keep it next to the phone. 888. That's how... Pastor Dave, are you falling asleep on us over there?
I'm sorry. I was getting a call, a message from Washington.
President Trump contacted you.
I hope you're not colluding over there.
This wasn't a Russian?
I think it was collisioning. 1-888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. So you can call us. I've actually worked in the Bronx.
I'm sorry, Joe. I have to ask you this question. If the phone number is that important, why did it take 22 minutes to give it out for the first time?
What's your name again?
You were a guest.
You were a guest, right? Now you're a pain in the keister. You see that commercial on TV with a town called Keister? That's cute.
It is cute.
All right, folks, so we back the whole concept of this program when we started doing them back in '04. I love that. 2004. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, got together. And the reason we knew each other, and Vince, Mike, everybody here understands, if you're a credible professional, you find other credible professionals to help your clients. Now, the word credible is very, very important because they also have to have another word called integrity. So when you say, hey, I want you to go to Mike or I want you to go to Vince, you know in your heart you're doing the right thing for the client. So my whole concept was the three of us got together and we had been referring people back and forth and say, let's start doing radio shows and answer questions for people in each area of expertise. And then, over a period of time, Vince was added, CPA, and that was a critical element because the words of taxes and all that stuff came up. And in the meantime, we have to take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. I just had a question. You guys were just talking about homestead exemption and everything, and I was just getting married, and we were discussing putting his name onto the house.
That's okay. If you're married, okay. I hope you like him.
I love him.
Well, that's it. I was soliciting for him for that comment. That was exactly what you're supposed to say. Here's what happens. Husband and wife on the deed. Do you have a mortgage on the house right now?
I do.
Okay. So you're on the note and the mortgage. But I believe Mike, she can add him to the deed, mm-hmm. and it won't violate the existing mortgage.
No, you do have to notify your lender. And matter of fact, I had the same experience. I purchased my house before we were married, and then after I got married, I called the lender, said I want to add my wife. They had no objection to it. They had to send some paperwork. We signed it. It was done. But make sure you keep the lender informed.
So they don't make me have to pay my mortgage outright.
Well, that's exactly the point where they could call it.
Yeah.
There are provisions in that fine print that allows them to do that, but no lender really wants to call your mortgage. What they want you to do is continue, and what you're doing is adding them more security, assuming this boy you're going to marry has a job, right?
Yeah, he's on the business. He's got great.
If he doesn't have a job, hopefully he has a lot of money.
Yeah, right. Hey, listen, not only does she love him, but he's got a job. You know, this is good.
All these positives.
All these. That's why I got married. Hey, I'm not going to ask any more questions. I don't need anything else. That was enough. But anyway, the answer is yes. I would just call your lender at any time and say, hey, look, I'm getting married. I want to add my husband to the on my deed. What do I have to do? And they'll probably send you paperwork like Mike said, and you can just do it, and they'll record it.
Great. And I don't have to add him do I have to add him? Is it even necessary? I have my daughter as a beneficiary. If something were to happen to me, would it automatically go to her? Or does it go to the spouse?
It would go to the spouse unless...
Does she have a trust?
Unless it's in a trust.
Unless you put it in a trust.
It is not in a trust.
Well, you sure you like this guy, huh?
Oh yeah, he's fantastic.
What I'm trying.
Well, you know, there's different ways to hold title too. You know, if you're married, you can hold title by tenants by the entirety, which means if one of you pass away, 100% of the ownership goes to the surviving spouse. Then there's a then you can do tenants in common with rights of survivorship, which is pretty much the same thing, or tenants in common where your interest in the property can be willed to anybody that you want.
I think the question is before you get married, you should talk to him about this. Because
I'm already married. Too late.
Okay, if adding him to the house as husband and wife, normally what happens when that's on the title, if one of you dies, it automatically goes to the other one. It doesn't have to go through the court. However, if you do that, as Mike was saying, and you don't want that to happen, I have seen this case where they say, hey, look, I owned this house for 10 years. We just got married. I love this guy, and I want to put him on the house. But if we both die, I want the house to go to my daughter. And or if I die before my husband, let him live there until he dies, and then the house goes to my daughter.
Okay. Ah, that's a good one. Okay.
This
that's
becomes
what,
now a trust.
That's what I would like to do.
This becomes a trust document. So you call an attorney. If you can't find an attorney, we actually happen to have one, and you do a trust and put that in there. I'll just give you a funny one. You'll get a kick out of this. So here, maybe you won't, but you will find out in a minute. So I have a husband and wife. They're not so young. It's not their first marriage. It's a second marriage. He's about 10 years younger than her. It's her house. So I'm sitting with them, and she goes, I want you to know right now, if I die before him, which I probably will, he can stay in this house, but if he moves a bimbo in, he's out.
Define bimbo.
I wasn't going to ask a question. I said, she goes, how do I do that? And I said, I don't do this. You have to go to an attorney. He will not use your words, but he will phrase it in such a way that you can accomplish exactly what you want. So we're talking the same thing. They call it ruling from the grave, where you can put certain conditions in to make sure that everything goes the way you intended it to, and you agreed to, and you both agreed to it, and that's it.
Great. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I love listening to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your info.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Have a great day. Bye.
1-888-221-8990.
See what happens when you give the phone number out? You call.
That was her
people
words.
Actually call.
Yeah. That was her words, by the way. And by the way, it's interesting. He died before her anyway. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling in reference to a reverse mortgage that my mother has.
We got Mike Palace here. That's a perfect question for him.
Okay. Should I alert the finance company now that I'm interested in purchasing the home upon her passing?
No, you don't have to notify them now. I assume she's still alive, correct?
Yeah, she's still alive.
Okay. Well, then, no, you don't have to do anything at this stage. Once she passes on, then that's the point where you contact the lender and start the procedure for that. You know, it's at that point, then you have a decision to make. You're either going to probably sell the property and pay off the reverse mortgage, or get your own reverse mortgage, or just refinance it into a forward mortgage. But either way, that mortgage will have to be paid off. That is not an assumable.
But you've got about a year to accomplish all this upon the death.
Yeah, they're normally they're pretty accommodating. 6 months to a year is pretty normal. What they'll do is they'll give you a time limit to market the property and sell it.
Or
refinance it. And if you're having difficulties in either selling it or refinance it, just keep them in the loop, and I'm sure that they will give you an extension on it.
Okay, so how the property is in her name. Mm-hmm. So how would I have the authority to do that without it being in my name?
Are you on? Does she have a will?
No, she does not.
Well, you might want to consider that while she's still healthy and alive.
I'd more than consider it. I would do it. Because without a will, it could be subject to probate. If it's a homestead, it's not subject to probate. But if we don't have somebody named in succession, let's just say, does your mom have more than one child?
No.
You're the only child?
Living, yes.
And does she have any a husband or brothers, sisters, other people that are still alive?
No.
Okay.
She has grandchildren, but no husband.
Okay. So a will would still be a very smart thing to do because it makes it pass and it doesn't have to go through probate. It goes through a real simple procedure. And then once that is done, at that same time, you'd be contacting the lender, telling them what you're doing. And it's not hard to do. If and when that happens and I'm still alive and on the radio, you call us back. On the other hand, if I'm dead, you call Mike Paulus because he's younger.
Oh, yeah. I think you're going to outlive us all.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I sure would do that.
All right. Anyway, yeah, the best thing to do, you do need to see an attorney and get a will done. And you don't need to get an exact, you know, exorbitant will, but a will is a very smart thing to do.
And do I need to record the will at the courthouse?
No, ma'am. You talk to the attorney. They don't need to be recorded. But the will simply says when mom dies, you need to have a death certificate, and then you go through this process of transferring it with that will document. But an attorney would explain to you the process. And mom has to be there with you, obviously, to do her will, because she's got to agree that upon her death that you get the house.
Is your intention to keep the house?
Say that again?
Is your intention to keep the house?
Well, it depends on the value, because right now it's about $60,000, and I don't know if it's still worth that. I guess I would have to have it appraised. At some point.
At that time, yeah. And then what you do is don't worry. I wouldn't worry about it now, but what happens is, if you know mom is on a... I had a client of mine say, hey, Joe, you know, I'm 30 years younger than you. What happens if you die before me? I said, what makes you think I am? She goes, Joe, as old as you are, you got 1 foot on a banana peel already. I said, well, thanks. I feel better now. What I'm trying to say is, I wouldn't worry about it until mom is very close to dying, or... when she passes, you'll have plenty of time to get this done, and people like us can very easily help you move through the process. But truly, right now, the most important thing, I think, Mike, Vince, is to get a will.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's...
Okay?
It's the first step.
So I can't go to one of these stores and get a will and have it notarized?
Let me just tell you, you can, but it may not be a legal instrument in the state of Florida. We have seen those things become a problem. And I know you hate to spend the money, but I hate to tell you this. Bite the bullet and pay it one time, and an attorney will even work with you about not paying it all at one time. Greg Fasula in our group is a magnificent person. You left your number. I'm going to give your phone number to him, and he'll give you a call and see if he can counsel you and help you through it. Is that okay?
That's very okay.
Okay, girl. You have a wonderful day, and tell mom that she's lucky to have you as a daughter worried about you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, bye.
So what happens is not every house is going to be worth $300,000 or $400,000. We have no idea what it's worth. But the bottom line is, to me, $60,000, $100,000, $50,000, I don't care what it is. If you have that kind of money, that's a lot of money. And you want to make sure the right thing happens with it.
And you got to, what she's saying, I guess, is if the loan amount is exceed the fair market value, yeah. Why would you want to get involved? Just
you know, let it go. When there's a reverse mortgage involved, though, if the lender will normally let the heirs purchase the property for 95% of the market value. Regardless of what the loan amount is higher than that. Wow, yeah. That's again, they're all different because they're all different, written in different times, but that's the rule of thumb.
The key is this. If the house got approved for a reverse mortgage, it's probably a decent house, right? Because they're not going to improve it.
Exactly. I mean, remember, on a reverse mortgage, they're only lending probably 50% of the property value.
Right.
So if it was worth 60 at the time, they probably got a reverse mortgage for 30. So that means there's still probably quite a bit of equity in it.
Sure. Sure.
Depends on how long ago they had it. Because you keep accruing the interest.
Yes. Well, but the theory with the reverse mortgage is the property goes up in value as well.
Yeah. Sure. And if we look at did this 3 years ago at the bottom, and the house
now,
could be worth
$100,000
today.
Absolutely.
That's why they like to give you more later in life if you got 50% of it.
Yeah.
Your odds are greater.
Well, that's something else, Mike.
The way
about a reverse, you can refinance.
You can keep. Yeah. And here, here's the theory behind it is, let's say the house is worth $100,000. They give you a reverse mortgage for $50,000. Well, the interest is probably accumulating at maybe, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars a year. But the property, the rate that we use is 4% appreciation. So the house is worth now next year $4,000 more. So it's worth $104,000.
So that would cover the interest should, plus.
Theoretically, the house should appreciate more than what the interest accumulates on the
And historically, over a 20 or 30 year period, it's been closer to 5% a year appreciation, hasn't it, for most houses?
Yeah, but you know, there's the exceptions. Oh, yeah. You know, back in 2008 and 2009.
Now we're talking Florida now. Florida, we're hot stuff, you know.
Now, right now we are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But we've had our ups and down periods.
A lot of
ups and downs.
888-221-8990. So Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, just walked in the door. And as I was explaining our group back a few years ago, and I'm having, I lose time, but in 09 and 08, when the world started to come apart with the housing and mortgage business, it became critical that we added a person to our team that would understand the new nuances in the mortgage industry and in the housing industry. And some of the new words became short sale, which had never been used before. Mm-hmm. We had deed backs and lead deeds in lieu of foreclosure and foreclosures, but short sale was a whole new wrinkle, right?
Absolutely.
And then you and I both know, everybody that's sitting here probably knows, 90% of the people out there that were helping people with short sales didn't have a clue what they were doing, and they got messed up even worse, and sometimes never occurred.
Absolutely.
Because it was a very, very complicated procedure. Anyway, so Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, I'm patting you on the back here, Vic, and luckily I can't reach across the table, but if there's a harder working person alive, we've never met them, and everybody here agrees.
Well, if you touched her anyway, she'd slap you.
I know. Well, I'm used to
that.
That doesn't drive me.
That's the bald spot in the back of his head.
That's right. Could be a lawsuit waiting.
Well, and one of the things that happens is, and Victoria, one of her favorite sayings is that not all realtors are created equal. Well, that happens with every profession. Some people are conscientious as all get out, return phone calls, do what they say they're going to do. Yeah. I think we have a president now that said something like, when I said it, I mean it, and I do what I say I'm going to do. Well, you know what? Don't we all admire that in anybody? That
I do too.
That we can trust them, that they have integrity. And that's part of putting our group together over the years, was to make sure we had people that had integrity. That when they, I will tell you this, if I call Mike up and somebody says, well, Mike never called me back, and Mike says, Joe, I did, I tried, I never do that. And none of us on purpose ever not call somebody back.
Well, you called me and said, Alan had called, left me a message, and I never got it. I never did. And I said, I didn't. And it was weird because, you know, with the cell phones nowadays, I tell people, if you don't hear back from me, it means I never got the message.
Well, I say this on the radio in defense of us, that every once in a while, something falls through the cracks. And I'll give a phone call to, say, my girl Barbara in the office and say, call these people. Well, mistakes can be made. None of it is ever done on purpose. And it's not because of that. Right, Alan?
Absolutely. I want to make one comment about our last caller when... she asked about getting one of these form wills. The bottom line is this. Yeah, I know money is important and your budgets are important, but the number one question should be not how much money is this going to cost me. The number one question should be how can I accomplish what I need to accomplish or what I want to accomplish. And the people in the Martech group that I've dealt with and know, they look to help you first, and the money comes second. Now, there are attorneys and professionals that will charge exorbitant fees and not give you what you really want. But if there is something not right with any one of the Martech group, all you've got to do is say, hey, this is not what I want. And they will fix it.
Absolutely.
Or do the best they can to help you get what you want. So I'm not saying that there aren't many, many wonderful professionals in the area here, but the experience that I've had with the Martech group and the fact that, yes, attorneys, real estate people, mortgage brokers, CPAs, we all have to make a living. That's obvious. But you should get what your money gives you the most value. And the most value you can get, in my humble opinion, is the best advice for the situation you're in.
Hey, Vic, it's your turn to give him $20.
You're closest to him.
Maybe my next life I'll go into preaching, right, Brad?
There you go. I'll tell you.
That would be great.
I could see him preaching. How many people do you think would fall asleep?
Aside from him?
1-8.
I'm already asleep. That was a recording on Memorex. You know what?
He could always sell his stories as sleep aids.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, there you go. I have a buddy of mine, that an old guy, older than me. Can you imagine somebody like that?
No way.
And he wrote his autobiography, and he loves giving it to people to read, and he's very proud of it. And he's not a bad writer. I mean, but it's a good inch thick. So he says, "What'd you think of my stories, Joe?" And I said, I think they're pretty good. Every time I can't sleep, I start reading them.
I could write some really good stories about real estate, believe me.
1-888-221-8990. We're here to answer questions. We're here to help people. Our game plan is we've been very, very, very blessed that we've been able to help and counsel and guide quite a few different people in different areas. Some are not necessarily in our areas of expertise, but when you've got a group, when we add up combined 200 years worth of experience, there's been a whole lot of experiences that we've had. Hey, we had one today, Mike. In fact, Bulldog called yesterday. Yeah.
No, this morning.
This morning.
Oh, you were there.
No, I was listening.
He was listening.
You were there.
I was there.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore,
Mike.
Can't even remember. What's your name again?
That's what happens.
Okay, Vince, you ready?
Damn, I'm ready. I know only by voice.
Let me just tell you. You know what a 401k is?
Oh, obviously.
You know what a 403b is?
Obviously.
Do you know what a 401a is?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell me.
I don't know. I don't know.
A
401 refers to the retirement section of the code.
Yeah.
Basically having to do with retirement plans.
So I was talking to a stockbroker buddy of mine today who was 45 years in the business, and I said, do you know what a 401A is? And he goes, no. And I said, I have never in my life ever seen those numbers and letters. What I've seen is defined contribution plans, deferred comp plans, all kinds of different words, but that's what they are. They're not the typical retirement plan.
I would think that most government agencies would pay into a pension rather than a 401A. That's probably why it's not as common.
This is with a hospital, by the way. Mm-hmm. This lady.
Nonprofits. Nonprofits qualify for 401As too.
Yes. Well, the 401A.
Normally 403Bs on
nonprofit. 401A does not have to be a profit or nonprofit, mm-hmm. but it's just deferred compensation.
Yeah.
Golden handcuffs. I'm going to give you an extra $1,000 a year, Mike, to work for me.
Oh, really? That's very generous.
Well, okay, I'll make it $500. I don't want to know. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to vest it not for the first 5 years. You have to work for me at least 5 years in order to get vested, or you get a portion of it every year.
Right.
So it's golden handcuffs, mm-hmm. and it's not a matter thing. Mm-hmm. It's separate money.
Right.
And it was
it's not deductible until paid.
Not deductible, right. Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, good afternoon. By the way, like before I even ask my question, you guys are doing an excellent job. I'm catching you for the first time here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, great, great. Oh, gosh, great. But anyway, I'm trying to find out how. What is the upside or downside to a lease option for a home purchase? Mm.
Victoria, you want to handle that?
Well, can you tell me a little bit about your situation with your lease option?
Well, I'm just tired of paying rent. I've been paying $1,300 rent for a long time now. I'm just trying to, and I put four kids through college. Kind of like had to start back over because they ran into some problems. And make a long story short, it kind of like took a dent in my credit. So I'm rebuilding that bike. But right now, I'm just tired of paying rent. Period.
Yeah, and then in a lot of cases it just depends. So some people have a lease, and in the lease it might stipulate that you might have an option to purchase it at a certain price at a certain time. Sometimes they take a portion of your rent, maybe $100 or $50, and they'll put it towards your down payment. They can do that sometimes. Another time is if you're in a situation and you might find a home, you actually do a contract and a lease at the same time. meaning that you'll do a lease to lease it at the time, but have a contract that you've agreed upon with terms, condition, and price of the home also. And then you'd have to follow through onto that.
Okay, because I saw something, my wife and I was kind of like browsing the web, and they have these different programs like lease owned. I would contract and stuff, and I told them I just didn't want to get burnt. I just want to make sure I do things legally and right, because it's going to take me about a year to get my credit scores back where I want them.
But I've heard some nice, I've heard some nightmares with these lease options.
Here, you've got to be very, 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 very careful. First, you want to make sure that person you're leasing it from really owns it.
Absolutely.
Second, you need to find out if they have a loan on that house. Then the third thing is you need to find out if they're paying the loan.
It's not in default.
I mean, you could be renting that house for a whole year and then all of a sudden get evicted because your, quote, landlord seller is not making payments.
Yeah, and most lease purchases.
That's why I'm calling, because I have five friends of mine that have this exact thing to happen to them, so I didn't want to get in the same situation.
And I wouldn't if I were you.
Most lease purchases are written where you have to put a large amount of money up front. And that's to entice the landlord. Because remember, on a lease purchase, the only winner is the buyer of the property. Because if the property goes up in value, of course you're going to exercise your option to buy the property. But if it goes down in value, you're just going to walk away from it. So you're the only one benefiting from this. The landlord is not. So there has to be something in there.
It has to be a benefit to the landlord.
Right.
Do you know what your credit score is? Do you know your credit score right now?
Is red at 6 now. It was 725, but after I paid some stuff off for my kids, who I signed for, unfortunately, while we were in college.
I've never heard this story before.
I'll never do that again, but hey, live and learn.
But you're pretty close. You're pretty close to 6 right now?
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to do. Mike Paulus is here. Let him call you tomorrow off air and counsel you a bit, and let him walk you through a process that might be able to let you buy a house.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
Mike,
FHA doesn't really even have a minimum credit score. Now, you know, once it starts getting below 600, it's very difficult, but it is possible.
Key thing is this. What Mike will do, which a lot of people don't do in his business, he'll talk to you on the phone, counsel you, and if you convince him, he'll run a credit report on you right now. And then he'll tell you, hey, you are at 610 or 605, but here's what we need to do to correct this so 3 months or 6 months from now, you can walk into a house as maybe with a credit score. By then, it'll be 650 or 700 and get a better interest rate, the whole thing. Right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. There's some good ways to work together
on that all the time.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely.
So,
oh, wow.
You left your name and
number. Sound like my kind of guy.
He is. Hey, I will tell you, last week we had a caller that said he walked on water and it wasn't even frozen.
But he had stilts on.
He had stilts on. Oh, I forgot about that part.
once in a while, I get lucky.
But Mike will help you, and he'll counsel you best, and that's what we do.
Fantastic. I look forward to call.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, caller.
Yeah, that's it's a situation. How many times, Mike, this must happen to you every week, where you have to counsel people and help them to get ready?
Every day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Even if you have great credit, there might be something you have to get in line before you actually apply for a mortgage. Yeah. It could be your assets aren't in the right place. You're going to get, you have cash, under the
ratios
mattress.
Could be bad.
But there's ways to resolve all those issues. Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about coming to you and not going to a direct lender like a bank.
Yeah, because
a lot of times they won't help you correct that problem.
Yeah.
Where talking with you, you can tell us and we can correct it before you submit it.
Exactly.
1-888-221-8990.
Mike, I've got a question regarding credit scores.
Yes.
Let's say for years and years and years you've had a very good credit score. Let's use a number like 800. I mean, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's illness or something, and you don't pay your bills for a couple of months, but then you're able to not only pay what you haven't paid, but be current again. Is there a way of repairing that credit score for something like that, so you're not in the 600s?
Unfortunately, bad things happen to good people, and this happens all the time. So if you have a low credit score, and it doesn't take long to damage your credit, you could have an 800 credit score for your entire life, and then something bad happens, you're in the tank. But if you have an isolated instance in your life that created that, and you can document that, you know, that was caused by an illness or a death of a wage earner in the family, then we take that into consideration. But unfortunately, you do live and die by these credit scores nowadays. But if you go under to, you know, under 600, we can still get you an FHA loan, but that's what they look for. They look for something that happened in your life, it's resolved, and now you're back on track. And if that's the reason why your credit score is down, then we're okay with that.
1-888-221-8990. We're winding down. What, we got about 10 minutes left?
Just about. 9 minutes?
7 minutes.
Seven. Oh, well, I was pretty close for
you
guessing.
You were. That was
I'm pretty
guess.
Impressed. You know, 7 and 10, to me, that's the same thing. Isn't that a gambling score or something?
7, 10, 10, 7?
I don't know. Either way, it doesn't. Sounds
7,
good.
7, 11.
7, you know, yeah, 7, 11.
7, 11. Okay.
That's how would I know that?
That's a store.
How would you know that?
1-888-221-8990. Our mission here, folks, is to help you any way we can. It's we got Vince Rosino, CPA, when it comes to taxes, starting a business, closing a business. Now, that's a subject we don't talk about often.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes going out of business, you got to be a bit careful on how you do it because of tax implications.
Absolutely.
Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. I another thing, I got to tell you this story about Victoria. Some years ago, she came in and which story? She had a card from our senator saying what a good job she was doing, and she had a plaque from Remax that she was one of the top 100 agents for Remax. And she says, Joe, out of 100,000 agents in Florida, I'm a top 100. And I said, Vic, it's not Florida, it's the world. I know.
And I think it's Florida.
She was kind of squirming. I said, there's not 100,000 agents in Florida.
I don't think so.
In the whole world.
I know we're big.
I was ranked 14th.
But she was, this woman doesn't have an arrogant bone in her body. She could care less, but she was just kind of, hey, I'm kind of proud of this. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it was
pretty good.
And
let me take another call here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hello. I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now and got brave enough to call.
Yay!
I had a quick question.
Congratulations.
Thank you
promise.
So much. You've been very helpful.
Well, I won't pick on you any more than I pick on anybody else. How's that?
Okay, that sounds great. Just a quick question. I had a very good credit score, I'll say about 4 or 5 months ago, and I got a credit card, wasn't really using it much. I would use it and then pay it off, and then unemployment happened, and then I had to use it a little bit more often, and then my credit score went a little low. Is there anything, or would you suggest maybe I pay off the card and cancel it?
No, probably
not. Would that maybe bring it up within a few months or so?
No, probably not canceling it, but paying it down. See, there's so many things that affect your credit score other than just being delinquent. If you have credit cards and you charge those up to the max, that will have a significant effect on your credit score. It'll bring it down significantly. So, it sounds to me like you lost some income. You were living off the credit cards. You charged them up. Now you're getting close to the maximum amounts or your limits, and that's affecting your score down. Simply paying them off will fix the score.
Yep. And then
don't close the account.
Don't close it.
Yeah,
though.
That hurts you.
The next month after you pay it off, charge something for $50 the next month, and then pay that off the next month. It shows a good pattern.
Should you pay it off or make a payment on it?
Wonderful, very good.
Either way.
Now, my spouse. Okay, his credit score is okay, but it's saying something like he doesn't have, like, say for instance, the payment to show that he's a good risk. And I'm so afraid. I don't know if there's something. Maybe should he apply for a credit card to bring the score up?
Well, one of the things that affect your score is a diversity of credit. So a mortgage really helps your credit score. Installment loans help your score. Revolving accounts, having a good mix of accounts, really affect your score positively. I'll give you a great example. I had one installment loan. It was a car loan. I wanted to get rid of it, had a higher interest rate. I paid it off. My score went down. And you would think that would be a good thing. But no, your score is driven by a diversity of credit. They want to know how you pay all your debts.
Key is this. If you've got a mortgage now, that helps. But if you're renting, whatever you're doing, But if he doesn't have a credit card, it'd be probably a smart idea to get one, charge something, pay it off, charge something, pay it off, and have a two or three, 6 months worth of experience. That's going to give him a good credit score.
I'll give you a little tip of the trick of the trade here. One way to increase your score significantly, if you have a lack of credit, is to be an authorized user on someone's account who has a good score. If you have an American Express card, you have a great long history of it, you keep a very minimal balance on it, if you let them be on the account as an authorized user, that would bring up his scores tremendously.
You are married to this guy, right?
Yes, for 26 years next weekend, next Saturday.
Right. Hey, congratulations. Well, congratulations. I just wanted to make sure if you add him to your credit card, don't let him run it up and not tell you about it.
Oh, no. Because my score was lower, would you suggest that I add him to mine, or that would bring his down even more?
Well, first what I would do is pay down your credit card so your score goes back up. And then it's fine to let be an authorized user on that. Now, another little tip, you don't have to actually give him a card.
He could just be on.
He's not the kind of person to use cards. He doesn't really use credit cards, so.
Well, hey, look. Yes. I think you won. You did well.
Yay.
Thank you for calling.
You have been very helpful. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
1-888-221-8990, and we don't have time for another call on the radio, but you can call the radio station anytime. Talk to Pastor Tom, Pastor Dave, Pastor Jonathan. We got loads of pastors hanging around here, and they'll take your name and number, and we'll call you back as soon as we get that thing, or even quicker. Not quite that fast, but 1-888-221-8990. Vince Rosino, CPA, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. We hardly had a chance to talk about Dan today, but man, I'll tell you what a job he does for people, but that's putting it mildly.
He's saved quite a few deals for me.
And then last but not least, Joe Martek, financial advisor. And I guess I didn't give you that $20 in time, Alan, to set me up here to explain what you did on the morning show.
Tune in next week and you'll hear it.
A little tease.
Tune in next
week. Attractions.
Again, 1-888-221-8990. How much time we got left, Chief? 30 seconds. You can cure the ills of the world.
That's 500 rows at Orange Theory.
Yeah, boy. I'll tell you what. Just 30 push-ups quick, right? Real quick. Listen, thank you so much for the callers. I'm glad we could help. And remember, that's what our job is here to do. So anytime you need our help, you call. And when we're not here, you call the station. They'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. Until next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you.
You've been listening to the Team Martech Program. The Team Martech Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech Program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
Savior, precious Redeemer. friend.